technology for bringing the technology subcommittee to order. So I just want to check the attendance. So far, we have President Hartley Nagel, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Woods, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Cartier, and Councilwoman Diller, and I am Councilman Carter, and Rachel Zarr is here taking notes. So this will be, I guess, the first meeting of the Technology Subcommittee in a while, primarily doing updates and discussions. We'll go ahead and get started with the update and discussion of the migration to the cloud, and I'll call Mike Hodnicki up to brief us on the status of that.
I'm Mike Hodnicki, Chief of Technology Administrative Services. Thank you for the opportunity to update Council where we are. I also have with me John Yearley, my Information System Manager. He's in charge of our technical team. I pick the stuff up and he gets it done. And so he really is the man behind the magic, helping to keep the team moving. So, but together we're getting where we are. So the migration to the cloud. As you remember, last year we made the decision to select Microsoft Office 365 versus Google. The progress is going very well. We have all New Castle County mailboxes up and migrated. What we're working on right now is the archives. We have historical data that dates back to many, 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 many years, and that process is about 38% to 40% complete to date. It's been running for about a month and a half already. So it's a long process to move the archives up. Users still have access to their archived email all from a desktop application, but we're anticipating this process to continue. We're gaining about 5% to 7% each week. Sometimes it goes a little quicker depending on capacity. So that's number one, the email. So
yeah. I just want to acknowledge that Councilman Street and Councilman Hollins are present.
And it was critical that we made it. We moved shortly after we started having some serious problems with our email infrastructure, so it was the right timing. We landed the plane before the plane we were riding in crashed. So we did. It was great timing. The next phase is moving your data, your shared drives, that people share the data. That's going to take a lot more outreaching communications and allows us to train users on how to share data. So let me close the door.
Yeah.
Tara normally handles her balls.
Councilman Smiley has also just joined us.
I have a public safety issue. I can't get the co-chair to address it.
Tara said, I'll handle this.
So once we get the data moved up there, that means all the data be organized. And if you remember the discussion, I was asked early on in this administration, when can council members separate email systems? And my ask was, let us get into a good place that we can actually separate. We're very close. So I would imagine by the end of this summer, we should have the archive completed and majority of the data moved. We can start to figure out a plan. I did do some exploratory research. The cost to migrate council for the first year is approximately $100,000 to $110,000 to separate your email system, take all your email and move it up to the cloud into your own instance. If you were to contract with a firm for ongoing support, it'll probably bring you, with licensing and ongoing support, around $50,000 a year is a good estimate going forward. That will allow you to manage your own email, control your own policies, and control your own data storage. The big change that council have to understand is you cannot be a newcastle.de.gov domain. You'll have to get your own email domain. And I strongly encourage you to get a .gov domain because it adds validity to who you are and it provides you additional assurances that you are a government entity. So the big decision is what email address you can get. I don't know what the process is for council, legislative branches at the government, because the .gov domains are controlled by Washington. But once the email migration is done, which we're almost there, and the files are moved, now we can plan for separating if that is the wish of council. That means your data is in a way that we can pick it up and move it. You can adjust your policies accordingly and have a vendor manage that for you. John Yearly and I talked, it'll be technically challenged, but we can figure it out on how to make sure you ride across our network. You know, so you're using our transport to go from your office to the internet and back, but be able to separate email. That's where we are.
Okay, just one other thing I wanted to make sure, because I know I've met with some of the council age staffs about some of the functions, and one of the things that this will make easier, and you could talk, will be to do automated FOIA requests that Nellie and others do periodically, and can you discuss that a little bit?
Yes, the e-discovery tool set that comes with Microsoft Office 365 provides greater granularity. It's easy to separate and designate. So we can separate you guys, and you can have very easy e-discovery. And John, correct me if I'm wrong, now we can do that today once they're up there on the archive. So essentially, we can grant authority once all your email archives are transported up to the cloud. We can grant that authority for e-discovery now under our, because we can say you have the authority to only look at these users and only these users. So once the email archive migration is complete, we can grant e-discovery to clerk of council so that process can begin within the next couple of months.
Okay. I'm sure the council clerk will be glad. Question? Yes.
I just want to
President.
Just clarify. So what you're saying is that we are going to be separating council from the administrative side.
If your choice is to have council have their own email standalone systems managed by your vendor, not Newcastle County IT vendor staff, yes, that's what we're talking about. It is possible after the migration is completed.
Okay.
Councilman Smiley.
What's the cross-charge count now to operate? In other words,
yeah. I don't know, but
we're talking $100,000 for $50,000 a year. Whether the taxpayer's paying, because council's not paying it, they are, right, for us to operate now.
I will have the blended number.
What would the difference actually be?
I will find out. Because again, your cross charges is your network access, your internet, your endpoint protection. Mm-hmm. I gotta try to figure out how to carve out the email component.
Right. I understand it's not easy, but it's important to me know whether I'm taking another $100,000 from the taxpayer, or am I actually asking to take another $40,000? Because both of them equate to quite a few summer jobs.
It will cost you more than your P&P charge today, I'm sure, but I will get that number.
Yeah, I'm sure, but there's going to be a difference. By that, I mean if we're paying $30,000 now, and then we're looking at $70,000. That's the true dollar. Understanding we'll never get the high quality of service. But when you leave, we'll lose that too.
So. Councilman Holland.
Responsibilities, unless you may not be allowed.
I'll even consider it later.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
I think that just to piggyback off of Councilman Smiley, that number and some of the other kinds of things that we may want to consider before, it hasn't been determined that all of council members want to go over a separate account.
Yes.
To begin with. So that's the discussion that we still need to have. I, for one, I'm not inclined to want to be on a separate system, and some council members I'm certain want to. We've had this discussion a number of times before, but I think as much information as we can get before council enter into that discussion would be very helpful.
And I will make sure that Mike and I have been communicating on a lot of this stuff, so we will make sure that we get those comparative numbers that we'll be able to weigh. I think I had Councilman Street and then Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Councilman Street?
My question is, in doing your due diligence and research, have you found other governments where there was a separation from the administrative and legislative or executive or whatever in other jurisdictions? And if you did, how did it work?
There are some governments that handle separate email systems, but most governments are on a shared email platform. In the state of Delaware, the Department of Technology, my former agency, manages the email for all branches of government, including higher education and education. The one thing that we have with the, using a commercially available platform like Microsoft Office 365, it provides greater audit capability and oversight. So if there's ever a question of then someone crossing a line, it's not my technical people manipulating the audit. The audit is the audit data you get from Microsoft. So you do have greater audit capabilities, but I am not, it's blended, sir. Some governments choose to separate if they have the technical skills to do so.
Yep.
And the budget.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
So if we separate and we need help with something, do we have to have somebody in this office that is trained? Are we still under your help desk?
It would be confusing, but if your computer breaks, you call my team. If your email or Microsoft Office product or your data files are a problem, you call your vendor that you have contracted with for support. Or if you choose to hire a person full-time on site, that's your call. My number of 50,000 was based on an estimate of a vendor providing you remote support for that product platform and managing it for you.
And the reports that some of our aides run for different things, how does that work? Because they would have to cross over into
reports,
the executive side.
If it's a Hanson report, it would still be us. Your vendor would only do your email, your Microsoft Office products, and your files.
So how would they get into that system then?
You would log in with your credential, and it would grant you access to get to your email, because that's the way your email will be configured, and you'd still have access to Hanson. It'll be an icon on your desktop. It's going to take some engineering. It's going to take some technical work from my team.
Let me have Council President Hartley Nagel and then Councilman Woods.
Yeah, part of what I had to ask was similar to Janet, is Ms. Kilpatrick, is do we need another person? But then how much is it? This is starting to sound pretty expensive. So it's what, $50,000 just initially, correct?
$110,000 roughly.
How much?
$110,000
the first year.
And then approximately $50,000 for licensing and a support contract for a vendor to manage your Microsoft Office 365 or email system.
That's annually.
And then that doesn't include separating and having someone in-house, possibly.
That's a vendor providing remote support. If you have a problem with email, right, you pick up the phone and they'll remote.
But then we would have to have somebody separate for anything that we needed to do. It sounds very expensive, and it sounds like you're doing the job, so a good job.
Thank you.
So just weighing that, we're looking at quite a bit, and we don't really get, I don't see what benefit we're getting out of that.
Let me, Council.
If we separate, and maybe I wasn't here for the discussions in prior years, but...
No, these are critical considerations, and I was asked by a member of council to look at both options. Mike and I are looking at both options. I don't have any preference one way or the other, and we'll figure out what the costs are and what the service needs are and put that into some kind of matrix in front of everybody, and we can decide the pros and cons.
You have now entered wider world.
I know. It's okay. It's just I'm.
I'm sorry.
You had to be there.
It's all fair choice. Let me go to Councilman Woods next.
I know he said wine, but I'll just say the computerly challenged people and
fiscally responsible.
So anyway, that seems like a huge cost, and that's not what the direction that I was thinking when I was looking at all this back then. My only problem is that as we've changed technology, we've lost some things, at least as a council person, some of the things that I can't carry two phones, and every time I log into my council email now, if I try to open an attachment, it locks up and I can't do anything. I gotta literally shut the phone off. I can't even close the app. I gotta shut the phone off. So I know that since we've migrated to 365, I know there's policies that you guys have put in place for county employees. And I don't know if maybe it's we change policy for county, for council. I don't know how we can do that. I don't know if you can do that. I guess that's where I'm going. It saves us costs, but just makes the policies easier so that we can do things the way we need to do. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that your phone's locking up and attaching that's different. I haven't heard that problem. But I guess what has caused some, I would say, change in the way we do things is the mobile device management. It's called Intune. That basically creates a container for county email and county applications, so that should any individual, number one, we know who has credentials, who has data on their phone, and if that individual leaves county government, we can take it off the phone. You know, previously we have, in the old email system, I had no idea what employee had downloaded email, synced email, copied email. I had no idea. The policy is the norm today in IT best practices. It does take some adjustments. There are some tweaks we can try to do, but as you start doing that, as you'll hear me under cybersecurity executive briefing, you lessen and weaken the security controls as you start paring down policies. We didn't go to the draconian. There's some additional stuff. We tried to find a happy balance, you know, and we're trying to tweak it. We only been in this tool now about six, you know, 3 months really. So we're still settling in, and if we can lessen and try to sync and adjust, we will. But I caution around changing policies and weakening our security. Our defense is as good as the weakest link. And John Yearley tells me security is inconvenient at times. But again, I don't want to be Baltimore City that's been held hostage. You know, it's all been in the news since May 7th. They're just getting their email system back now. Their entire city government was paralyzed due to malicious programs. It wasn't email that caused it. It was the age of their system. So let me be clear. It was the age of their system.
I'm going to go to Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Cartier, and then I'm going to move on the agenda, just because we got to keep moving here.
I don't think we should make a decision about this today. We obviously don't have the information. And I would welcome a move before we go any further. Although, in the interest of full disclosure, I do have the screenshot of a previous administration member's permission to go into our email. Just saying.
Councilman Cartier.
I'm very pleased that we're migrating to the cloud. I've been a big advocate for that for a long time because of all the advantages that it confers. And it could be that after we evaluate the situation, we're going to be able to really weigh, you know, separating our email systems, because we're going to have the platform that allows to do it for the first time, really. So I'm very pleased that we're, you know, heading down this path. And, you know, everything today in terms of software technology and for governments, business, I mean, it's all migrating to the cloud. That's the trend, and I'm glad we're on that trend and taking advantage of all of the you know, productivity enhancements we'll get with that.
Okay, and so we're going to move on. I will continue to work with the director to figure out, and clearly we're moving to the cloud. As we get there and get closer, we will do the pros and cons and make sure that we have the data to make the decision. I wanted to give you an update on the streaming of council meetings. We are taking kind of two potential courses here. One is working with Mike to see what we can do with the administrative staff, helping and looking at some things. The other one is looking at whether or not the staff from Channel 22 who currently stream and video record for the city can do. In both cases, and you know, Mike, you feel free to jump in, the costs look kind of comparable. The cameras that they recommended from downstairs were a little bit more expensive than what we looked at, or what we just learned to look at for this room. The difference with them is they already have the cameras downstairs, so we wouldn't need to do them. The other thing to consider is that if we do it with an in-house application, we are back to have staffing for it, whether that's contractual or a seasonal or a new staff person potentially. We may be able to contract, and Jim and I were able to get some initial cost estimates from Channel 22 to be able to have them do it. So they're the two options, and I think we're still going to have to review them. The information is just coming in on them.
I just received yesterday the update from looking at the live stream option for the cameras downstairs and upstairs here. The vendor was pumping out through live stream, but we'll be able to accept the feed into the network. Our network is solid. John John Yearley and team had put the infrastructure in place for putting the stuff we put in through record deeds. So whatever direction you go in, whether you're doing it yourself through live stream or you're contracting or partnering with WTN, we'll be able to pick that feed and pump it through our network and make it happen. So we are full steam ahead in getting our network ready. I'll be ready. Well, actually, my goal is to live stream to the cable channel the police graduation on July 11th. That's the target I put in the line in the sand, and I'm pushing everybody. You know, if Wilmington can put their graduations out there, we should be able to put ours as well. And so I'm pushing hard. I know I'll have the camera crew recording, whether I can connect the wires. It all depends on the vendors and the POs. So
yeah, but have you? Pushing. I mean, have you determined the encoder you want?
Yeah, so we're rolling. So, okay, so you know, I'll be ready to go once we.
Yeah. So we'll be working.
The pilot test.
We'll be working closely. There's a different vendor that the guys downstairs use, Swagit, instead of some of the other streaming or StreamViewer, the stuff the university uses as well. But we just have to make sure the encoders are fine and we can feed it through. So again, for this one, we just literally, Jim and I got the numbers from downstairs in the last week and a half. Mike got the other numbers, started pulling together yesterday. So by the time we meet again, hopefully before the break, we will be able to do a good comparison matrix as well between the two. And then I will be working again with some of the council staff or the county council staff, our legislative age, to see whether what they're most comfortable with, whether having a contractor, whether we'd have to bring somebody in, or whether somebody has a strong desire to do that. Any questions on the streaming? Good deal. Okay. So I had questions about options for sharing the council meeting digitally. I know Ken Woods and others talked about how to automate the system. A lot of us like our hard copy books. Some of them want it digitally. So I began looking at the different packages to do that. I did a reasonable review of everything except for cost. Of Aprio Onboard, Board Docs, GovMeetings, and then Civic plus Clerk. Okay. All of them would do the meeting stuff, but the Civic plus Clerk does a whole lot more. It actually is a soup-to-nuts program that automates all of the development of agendas in a standard format. It packages all of your meeting packages together quickly. It tracks when you enter things in, when they go on to meeting agendas, all the stuff that I guess our staff do now manually. It automatically checks. We already use Civic Plus for our website, so it would seamlessly integrate that and automate all of that information so that every time there's update, every time there was a change, it would all be through that system. And it also packages it well for archiving to collect it. I have had some extensive discussions with Mike on it, and I don't know the cost yet, but he agreed for a whole lot of reasons, at least in terms of management, that it made a lot of sense. And I don't know if you wanted to make any.
And Civic Plus is a leader in government hosted websites, and they have brought their tools along, like eBoards. Councilman Woods approached me last year and said, hey, when are we going to get there? And I said, I have these other projects, sir, with all due respect, and we're probably there. I agree that Civic Plus, I think, is the right platform for us. It's our current vendor. They have a lot of tools focused on government, designed for government, and it'll plug in nicely to our website. And my team can support the website and also train over and help your staff, and we can extend our ability to assist. When it comes to how to use things, that's up to you to go to training.
They do training, and the video even mentions that they will do training for elected officials.
That's right.
I've watched it with some of the staff. They got a good kick out of that part. Councilman Woods, did you have?
So the reason I looked into this, started looking into this, is, you know, we all get these emails, and the agendas change, and some people have paperwork, some people don't. This will correct all that. Once an item is put in there, if there's a change, the item in there changes, so you will have the live change. So you'll know it. You'll have the latest agenda. You'll have, you know, things have to be put in by a certain date, you know, so that you have that information. If things are late, they go to the next month or the next meeting. You know, that it's going to make things streamlined a little easier for us.
Yeah, and I want to point out,
that's the inception of it.
And I want to point out that it not only gives a package for all the agenda stuff, but it would give us a common calendar, one spot that we can all pull. Whenever it's updated, you get that automatically. You can go through, and a lot of other functionality that I did meet. Nellie was nice enough to pull together a meeting of some of the legislative staff for them to talk about it, and because I really wanted to hear what the needs were of the end users, and the impression I got that they wanted to look at it more in much more detail, because it looked like it would automate and organize and structure a lot of the things that they have to do the old-fashioned way now, and we'd be able to do it a lot better. So we will dig into that a bit deeper. If you want information on the other systems, I'm happy to give you summaries of those. I didn't write them up. I just reviewed them all. Most of them are for nonprofit boards, financial institution boards, stuff like that. One of them does some government, but nothing nearly as soup to nuts and integrated as the Civic Plus Clerk system does. They also have a system that I've looked at that we may want to look at down the road, that allows you to log all your complaints and track them throughout. I mean, right now you're using the Hansen system, which I think is custom software, I believe.
Oh, no, it's a package.
It's a package.
It's the next major system to be replaced.
Well, I'm going to let you do that first, but what we might want to look at is whether the system they have, if we're going to consider other things with Civic Plus, whether their system's worth looking at. I was impressed with it when I reviewed it, and it would only make sense for council if it would be integrated with tracking things back and forth with the administration.
And down the road, we can also look at the other boards and commissions and administer on the executive branch, if we can leverage it there as well. So,
yeah.
You know, if that's the path to go to, maybe we can leverage pricing and look at that.
Yeah. And for those that are interested in, we were able, the rep from Civic Plus is going to be in town, I guess 2 weeks from now. And we were able to schedule a time for him to come in on June 21st. I know Nellie and some of the other staff are going to be there. Mike's technical staff are going to be there just to ask them questions, have them brief us on what Civic Plus does. And I also asked him to brief us on the roadmap program, which I think would be very helpful to council. And it's essentially a system that allows you to kind of strategically plan what you want to do with your processes and how to automate some of it through the system and which pieces of software that you need. And I know Councilman Woods, I think I forward some of that on to you because you had expressed interest, but if others are interested, I'm happy to send it out to all of you. If you want to sit through a technical meeting like that, it'd be great. Then you'd understand what we might be looking at down the road, but at least for now, since we have the opportunity, we're going to have the comment. We did check that there weren't any concerns if we did decide to have them as a contractor, because they're already a contractor with the county. So any questions on any of that?
You'll let us know the time on that?
Is it 9 in the morning? 9 in the morning on the 21st.
Where at?
Here. We're going to be in this room, so.
And, Dave, it's my understanding that there's at least one other local government in Delaware that's using it already?
There are a couple, and Middletown used it for a while, but then it was expensive for them because they were small, so they went back to one that the government, state government provides that does some of the basic stuff. There are a couple, but I can't offhand remember who they are, at least for the Civic Plus Clerk. There are more that use Civic Plus for their web applications, okay? But the difference is, if you get Civic Clerk Plus, everything you do, you literally do all your agendas, have your other stuff, and there's a little button that
it's
push.
It's all integrated.
You push go, and it automatically publishes it or automatically updates it. So if you change an amendment, once you change that amendment, you just push the button alongside of it and automatically updates your website and everything seamlessly, and it updates your database file with a change history as well as the most up-to-date file. So it looks like it's got good, robust SQL compliant database behind it for all your data storage and management that you don't have to deal with. It just does it. Okay. Any questions? Good deal. Okay. We already talked about the meetings, so council printing strategy.
So this request came to me, Mr. Boyle was having a conversation with John Yearly about some, needing some additional printers, maybe replace a few printers. And last time I was here, I talked about we have secure print on the copier. And the question is, what's council's direction? Do you still want individual, or do you want me to enable secure print on your copier? It has the hardware. We've been pilot testing in my office of administration for about six months. It's been up and running in public safety for about 6 months, John. And what it means is when we enable it, your printer becomes the default printer as the copier. It only prints out when you walk up and swipe your badge. That way it's not sitting there on there. The value of using the copier is the consumables, the toner, the maintenance is all included in the annual lease. And this year we're coming up to renew all the copier leases, so you're going to get a new copier within the next year anyway. That is the direction from administration. We are reducing the number of personal printers and really steering everybody to this shared common printer. But I'm not opposed to, if that's the will of council, to have separate printers. I just need to know the direction.
Councilman Smiley, then Councilwoman.
Now, this is a big issue for me because everything you've discussed so far costs additional taxpayer money, and this council does not have the ability to generate revenue. We don't generate revenue. This is one where we voted before the last election. We made with Nellie's assistance, Tara's, and the past clerk, we made a concerted effort at council's request, we voted and agreed, to cycle ourselves to one type of printer because we had four and five different types of cartridges we were buying. So we got that done. The first time we got a replacement, a printer, you can't get that model. We're back to how many different types of ink now?
Two
right now. And now we find that you can't take the printer out of my office and put it in Councilman Woods' office. It won't work. Totally ridiculous to me because I can take the printer out of my house and move it. My point being, that was done as a cost-saving measure. My position, I think we need to cycle to the protective, using the scan, using your card, the big printer copiers that are there, and cut down on it. I mean, the individual printers, nice. I like them. I have one in my office. Of course, I don't have a problem. I walk up here. I walk back there. But the cost just continues to grow. We can't, if we could keep the package the way we had it, fine. But the first time there was a breakdown in a printer, it didn't work. Somebody had to pick a different type of printer and a different type of ink. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with having the printers that we had and having them get personally. I like the idea of being able to send my work back there, and instead of me getting up and going back there and making sure I get it off, I have it built and be able to go back and scan my card. And the fact that the toner and all is built in to the cost is a big saving factor for this council. I think, in my opinion, that's the way we need to go. We discussed it, or put it this way. I've known about it. We've had discussion about it before. We never discussed actually implementing it because we went with the universal printer here in council. But fiscally, I don't think it's the responsible thing to keep doing. That's my opinion. When I saw the email, Mr. Boyle, first thing I did was offered my computer up, my printer. Just come take my printer, move it to whatever office you need it in. I find out you can't do it. Whatever you mean, you can't do it. But we're cycling away because even if we did half of the printers, the next time out, you're going to need a third type. So I just think this makes a lot more sense. The only issue we have is when they replace the printers, you need an alarm on them. And I had the same problem when I was a full-time business agent. You need an alarm on them that when it gets, that drawer gets down to 25 sheets of paper, it sets off so whoever's in there getting their paper, they know to put paper in the drawer. So it's physical burden.
It doesn't matter now, because you walk up and you're going to print something with a paper in there, so.
It does that now.
Let me go to Councilwoman Durham, and then I'm going to go to Councilman Woods.
Thank you. I for one, really value having a printer at my desk for when I'm working or meeting with someone, need something in a hurry or whatever. And I just, is it possible to do both? Is it either or? Why?
Yes.
I also use the other copier printers, too, for larger jobs or whatever. Why can't we have both?
You can have both. I was just trying to get direction, because my direction on the executive branch, we're reducing. And I just want to see if, you know, if you guys want to maintain a different strategy. The criteria I use is whether a person has a printer or not, it's the nature of the job. If it's highly confidential, you know, a person, I don't have a printer on my desk, it hasn't worked for 3 months. It sits there as a, you know, but I walk, but that's me. I chose to say that if I'm going to lead, I lead from the front and by example. But if a job requires one right there, I'm okay with that if it's justified and management agrees. So it's my question to council, if you still want to have personal printers, we can still do that. We just have to budget for it and we'll keep the program going.
They're so inexpensive.
It's the consumables, ma'am. It's the consumables, and that's where each year Tony Price and Jones sends pallets of aged toner and stuff to resell at a pennies on a dollar. We spend $250,000 a year on printer toner and printers each year.
Yeah. Let me go to Councilman Woods and then Councilwoman Dillard.
The first thing, when I got here, I couldn't believe that we were still using inkjet printers in the offices, because that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I mean, everybody has laser jets in the list, thousands of prints in them, even the small ones that you put on your desk. But I mean, I would think at even council, we would have community printers and have one at that end of the hall, one at this end of the hall, and then a big copy. And everybody can do that, you know. So that's what we do in my offices now. I mean, we have 40-some printers. We're down to, in the big office, we have 3 printers, one at each end of the hall and one in the center. So with the big copy machine that does all the stuff. But we track, we know who's using it.
Right.
They're all color laser jets. If somebody prints out something in color, it gets charged to that person. Like for us, my boss just wants to know who's using it so he can go to them and say, yo, what the hell are you doing? But it could be tracked that way, that if somebody's sending stuff to the printer and they're, you know, sending bullshit to the printer, at least we'll know. So, I mean, having your own printer is fine to me, but I still think the biggest thing is these communities. Because then there's only 3 printers that have to be maintained. And like you said, I get up, I go to the, you know, to the printer, and I print it out when I need it, you know. Because I'll print 5 or 6 things, I'll walk out and hit the code in, boom, all my things come out, you know, in the order that I put them, you know, whether it's stapled, collated, however you want it. So,
Councilwoman Diller, then Councilman Smith.
I just have a technical question. In the good old days, you used to do labels or envelopes on your printer. You know, oftentimes, if you have a community meeting, particularly related to a rezoning, you will want to send out notices to communities. How does this common printer handle this stuff with the paper? I mean, I'm just asking a technical question here.
You could, it depends on if you want to designate something for labels. You standardize on a label sheet. You could do that. You stick it in a certain tray, and it's designated as labels. It's all in the configuration and setup. I don't think we have any copiers today that have envelope feeders today. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of envelope feeders on printers that are shared printers. I know procurement has one for all the contracts and stuff we push out of there. So that you would identify a common printer that has that feature function set. That's easy enough. We can put that as a network and make it available and say, you need to print labels or envelopes, you go here, and everything else goes to the other location.
But Mike, if you have the swipe, you can also walk into the copier, change to paper, and swipe.
It's our, if I don't print, if I'm using that tray.
Yeah, and do it that way as well.
Way.
Yeah.
Back in the day, don't print, I have labels in there.
Yep. Councilman Smiley.
Standing right there, you're swapping the paper.
I'm looking at it strictly from a fiscal note.
It is.
Because no way in the world am I going to support a tax increase because this council doesn't want to walk to a copier. Bottom line. So my question to you is, if I wanted to go and use Office Basics or whoever and buy a copier out of my personal money and bring it in here, we hook it to this, would it be okay? We hook it to the system then?
That would be, I mean, that's in recreation. Could you hook it to the system?
I know you can.
But would I advocate for it? No, because you're again, you're going to have county employees fixing a personal device. I mean, we do work with phones because it's an extended tool. We don't do the maintenance on it. If the printer breaks and you call help desk, my head technician doesn't know it's a.
I'm not talking about going that far. I'm just talking about connecting and letting it work. As you said, they're cheap, they're disposable. So it's cheaper to throw the $39 printer out than have an IT person come over here. But then the burden would be on the individual from their pocket to buy their own ink and their own printer. That I don't have a problem with, just as I don't have a problem paying for my own cell phone.
So Mike, what I'd like to propose, and I don't know if the rest of the council is comfortable with this, is that we move with enabling the systems.
Okay.
And then as we see how it works out, maybe we'll move into that migration away from personal printers and those that want them can have them. I mean, I have my default set to the copier now, so, you know, but it doesn't have to be an either or yet. We can enable it. It just will mean the change will be if you do print there and you want a copy, you just go swipe your card to do it.
Sounds good. We'll enable it, and that means I mean, you make a copy, you swipe, and that way it unlocks the printer. You know,
this would be my, I mean, that's my recommendation. I don't know if you guys want a motion, if you want to vote on it to give my guidance. Is there anybody that has
council needs to vote on it.
We need to have
okay.
a motion.
Then I'd like to make a motion to have Mike enable the card swiping for the printers.
Second.
Question on
discussion?
Motion.
Yep.
Just to have a complete clarification, what this would mean was, and I think it's only this printer back here.
Copy
cable. The copy back here. The one up here, I don't think it is.
They'll both
be. This one here is cable. I didn't know this was cable.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it would be such that anything you print to that will not print out until you go back and swipe your card.
Correct.
And your office, you'd still have your printer if you wanted. So that's why I just want to
correct.
Make clear.
And the way that the secure print works, it does. You don't say send to the copier. You just send it to the secure print queue. And if that copier is broken, you walk to the other one, swipe it there, comes out there.
Whichever one you swipe it at, it'll come out.
Right. And if we when we go countywide, you go to any Florida building and swipe, it'll come out there.
Okay. Is my county card or my parking card?
It's your county card that we issued. It says because this is OCA.
Okay, any more questions on the motion?
Just, and we should talk about eventually putting two in each end of the hole for everyone to print to. So,
okay.
Look,
yeah.
Look, for future stuff to look into.
The contract is coming up for renewal, and we'll be reevaluating the utilization of the copiers and right sizing them and getting the right size copiers.
We have.
You got to have a primary backup.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think this gives us a good opportunity to try it. People can still keep their personal printers for a while, and they may decide they don't like them anymore.
Well, I don't think it's so hard to disable.
Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. Any more discussion? And I guess anyone from the pub? No. And I guess I can call the vote. All in favor?
Question.
Yes. Yeah.
So we do right now have shared laser printers on both halls. Like,
okay.
Can they be hooked up to the swipe, or will they just?
No, only the copy, only the copiers, because that's part of the Canon copier print solution.
Okay.
You know, eventually they'll, as a network printer goes breaks, we wouldn't repair it, replace it. It would just, you would shift over to the. And I would encourage you not to order, you know, a 10-year supply of toner.
My next question is when you like have like a, so I do all the printing obviously for the council meeting. I typically just send it all at once. So would I go and have to like select each one, or could I like multiple queue?
Once you swipe your card, whatever's in your queue comes out.
Will come out, okay.
And there's no cross charges for copiers. Print, it's unlimited print, no cross charge. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you shouldn't have said that.
Councilman Woods?
I just so clear, so the laser printers they have, so you're saying that the copiers are on a separate plan or something?
Right, the copiers are under our copier contract. They used to be cross-charged back to you. Last year we changed that and moved it under office administration and started taking ownership, so and basically stopped cross-charging for copies, basically saying use it. It's all baked in and built into the cost of them We're encouraging to use it because they can do fax, copy, scanning, all from a single workstation, under maintenance, no consumable costs.
And the laser printers, you're just, because it's not under that contract, we still can print it?
You can use them until they die, and that's another decision point, right? When we get there and say the printer's dead, do we fix it? John Yearley comes to me and says, what do you want to do, Mike? I'm like, I'll pick up and say, repair, replace, or just correct them to the copier.
Okay, any other questions? So we have a motion, we have a second on to enable the system. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So I want to make a motion to go into executive. Oh, I'm sorry, I have other. Any other issues for technology that people want to raise?
Just the one that I had asked Mr. Migliori to look into doing legislation for the council and the row offices, also using Channel 22 and the TV, everything that goes along with the TV station and contract, so that we share it so it's equal for everybody instead of just the county executive using it exclusively.
Okay.
I think that when we originally talked about doing this, and we said that we were only going to do council first, am I correct? And if that worked, then we were going to go to the row office. So before we start writing legislation, I think we wanted to make sure it worked first. Am I correct? Correct them how we voted for that? I don't remember. I just want to make sure because we already voted.
Well, we got to give them point first. We haven't discussed it. We're going.
Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. I think we wanted to make sure that we could get it working before we started and involve other councils and boards.
Yeah.
I think that was how we put the.
Right. So if it's something that's technology related, I'm happy if there's legislation, I'd take a look at it just like any other legislation and review it and see where we go from there.
We'll all review it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just in a matter of time, I want to make a motion to go into executive session to have an update on our cybersecurity efforts.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're in executive session. I guess I can have a motion to.
No.
Nope. We just had our executive session on cybersecurity. No votes were taken. We just had a briefing on cybersecurity. And with that, I guess now we can.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?